This is the Ripple Effect with your girl K-Dot, where we're discussing NBA and NFL and everything in between.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's your girl K-Dot back in the Ripple Effect. You already know what it is. You already know the vibes. Good Friday to everybody. Happy Friday. I know everybody is excited about the playoffs coming up. It starts tomorrow. We're going to figure out. Everything's going to be finalized tonight. I can't believe it, right? Play-in tournament. We're going to figure out tonight who's going to be playing Miami and who's going to be playing against the Suns. And I know a lot of people have the Suns and Miami going pretty deep, so I don't think we see any upsets quite just yet. But you know what? If you are picking an upset, let me know. We need to have that conversation. I want to know where your mind is at and what do you see that I don't. But anywho, so Clippers, Pelicans. Paul George is not playing. Come on. I thought that would have been a really good game if Paul George had been there, you know, carrying his team right when he needs him. But even though Reggie Jackson and the boys have been doing a good job holding it down as much as they can, even Ty Lue, his coach, you know, he's done a phenomenal job with his group, being that he didn't have Kawhi Leonard or Paul George. So, I mean, big props to them, but their season is done. I think the Pelicans are clicking on all cylinders right now. CJ McCollum came in there. In that organization, like, he's been there for years. I guess that's just the type of guy he is. That's the kind of respect that he commands, being that he is, you know, the union players president. So it kind of makes sense. You know, he is that guy. He is that dude. He seems to be that leader for that team, that young core that needs to, you know, just get it together, figure out where they're at, especially since, you know, Zion won't be playing, and the organization is very serious about that. So I know everybody's getting excited and seeing Zion do all these 360 dunks, and they're like, oh, no, he's going to play. He looks good. Okay, but they're worried about more so the longevity. They're not just worrying about him, you know, putting up a couple of highlight films. You know, he's still got to run up and down the court. He's still got to play defense. And, you know, with those injuries, I guess he didn't seem to come down in his weight, you know, as much as maybe they would like. Or maybe they just want to work on some more rehab. I don't know. Bottom line is, he's not playing, but they seem to get it together. Brandon Ingram, I mean, he's being that guy that we've wanted him to be, you know, on a consistent basis back when he was with the Lakers. But, you know, he's young. He's still growing into his role. I've always liked his game. I've always liked where his head was at, because for the most part, he's kind of just focused on basketball. He's not really worried about the outside noise. And CJ seems like he got them ready, you know, kind of locked in, because CJ's been in these playoff situations before, even though they're not in the playoffs just yet. I know we're calling it the play-in, you know, the playoffs before the playoffs, so to speak, right? But bottom line is, I got Pelicans. They should be playing the Suns in that first round, and that should be a good first round matchup-wise to see how, you know, everything will go. But ultimately, we already know what it is. But switching it over a little bit to the east side so we can talk about Miami and who's going to be their competition, right? Because we already saw the Atlanta Hawks beat the Hornets. I don't want to say I told y'all so, but, you know, I knew that was going to happen. It was just, I know a lot of people worried about, you know, John Collins was out and they had some other injuries going on. But just the way Trae Young, the way he breaks down the defense, it's so difficult. And you saw what Charlotte was doing with Trae Young initially, which was really, I mean, that's probably the way I would have went it too. You know, you trap Trae Young, try to get the ball out of his hands. But the thing is, they got guys over there that could shoot. That's, as long as Trae Young is smart with the ball, he knows to get the ball out of his hands immediately. Don't wait too long, because when the trap comes, obviously they can force a turnover. You know, or you could just, you know, just do silly things that, you know, that you weren't obviously originally going to do. So they did a really good job, you know, getting the ball out and shooters knocking down those shots. That's huge. And a lot of people made a good point. Role players really do play better at home. Would have been a different story if they were in Charlotte. I don't know. I would say, I don't think it would have been a different story. I just think it would have went differently. I think the game would have been a little bit tighter. You know, it wouldn't have been essentially a blowout, you know, most of the game. But Gallinari and those guys, they showed up. And just like I thought they would, because not only have they been here before, I feel like they still have something to prove. And as long as they can stay alive in the playoffs long enough to where John Collins can get back and they can really come together as that core, and all their guys are there, I mean, sky's the limit. Sky's the limit. They're going to be a tough out. They're not going to be one of those teams where you're just going to kind of look over. You're going to want to take them seriously. And, you know, it kind of is what it is. And now we have Cleveland. They put up a fight against the Brooklyn Nets. I know a lot of people just want to say, like, oh, look, Brooklyn won it. They honestly, Brooklyn was supposed to win that game. We can't act like that, right? I mean, because Brooklyn was assembled to win it, to compete for a championship. Let's be honest. So we can't necessarily be celebrating at the fact that they got past the Cavs and barely did so at that, because they were giving them, you know, a heck of a run, you know, down the stretch. We can't act like that was an easy out. Everybody had to be clicking on all cylinders, and it wasn't just Kyrie. And I know a lot of people were wondering, you know, Kyrie is getting a lot of points. You know, KD's not really, you know, getting the rock as much, and he's not getting into the flow of the game fast enough, you know, earlier in the game. That can be a potential problem. I don't see that as being a problem. Well, actually, let me stop. Last episode, I got the brackets a little mixed up, so my bad. Told you, it was a little difficult, but we're all together now. They will be playing Boston, and you know what? They're going to have to figure that out quick, meaning Kyrie is going to have to force the issue in getting Durant the ball early. And not just Durant. You want to get the other guys acclimated, right? You want to get them warmed up. You want to get them feeling confident and ready. So that way, when they head back down court to go play defense, they will be more likely to play defense, and especially with their feet and not with their hands. Because Durant already said that, right? His team needs to be a little more cognizant about how they play defense, because that's going to make the difference going forward. Because you're not going to get away with, you know, those fouls, especially on Boston. Boston is going to bring it. And I'm ready to see what they can really do. I know a lot of people are saying Williams is going to be out. And listen, Boston is still a good team. They have a lot of weapons. I like what their coach is doing. I mean, the fact that they got Jaylen Brown and Tatum, I mean, sky's the limit. I'm not placing any more limitations on this team. They've already proved me wrong. And I'm happy for that, because I like Boston. I like that young core that they have. You know, you just want them to figure it out. You don't want them to just keep playing together, just seeing something that doesn't work. You don't want to see that. That's kind of what we're starting to see with Utah and the Jazz, right? You don't want to see that. I love Donovan Mitchell. You know, Rudy Gobert is a good player in himself. But after a while, if you're seeing that it doesn't work, it's like, yo, either get it together or, you know, do something else. Figure it out. You got to rebuild the team. You know, figure out who's going to be that guy that you want to build around. But to get back to that Boston and Brooklyn series, yeah, that's something that they have to figure out now, tonight. If anything, that's what they should be focusing on. Like, that should be a thing that they should be watching and really, you know, I'm talking about film when it comes to Boston and understanding how these guys move as a team, and that way they can pick their spots, not only offensively, because we already know what Kyrie and Kevin Durant's going to do, but, you know, more so for the role players, but mainly on defense as well. You want to be able to sit there and be able to say, okay, they're not just going to let, you know, Marcus Smart go off, because that's the thing. You have to be very careful about the way you play defense on these guys, because you're not leaving Tatum open. You're not leaving Jaylen Brown open. But here's the thing. You can't leave Marcus Smart open either, because once he starts going off early and he has one of those games where he's putting up six to seven threes a game, that's not a recipe for winning if you're the Nets. That's something that you don't want to see. And if that happens, it's going to be a long series. And I don't know if you want a long series if you're the Brooklyn Nets. I think a long series favors the Boston Celtics. And I know a lot of people might be saying, why is that? Simple. Injuries. Right? That's what you're looking at. That's the biggest thing that I would be worried about if you keep constantly having these long series if you're the Brooklyn Nets. Understanding your path to the finals, right? That's their goal. But looking at tonight and seeing exactly who's going to get past, just to kind of take a break and kind of just look at Atlanta and Cleveland. Now, I don't want to necessarily sleep on Cleveland, but at the same time, Atlanta's going to give it to them. I think Atlanta's moving on. Like I said, I think it's just experience alone. Experience matters, guys. It keeps you from making those silly mistakes down the stretch. Excuse me. And if you start to really look at these games and you start to see those silly mistakes that I'm talking about, when the game starts getting closer, the game really starts slowing down, and every possession really means something, and you start to see the free throws being missed. Like, those are the little things that I'm talking about. Those points add up at the end of the day. So if you're losing by, like, you know, a couple points, you know, that was the difference maker. It was those free throws. So you have to really sit there and really figure out, how can we get better as a team? What do we need to work on? From that standpoint, especially if you're Cleveland, if you want to be able to beat out Atlanta, I mean, you do have the better record. I know it's only by like a game or two, but the point is, you showed out all season long. I know you don't want to go home now. You're probably seeing that they don't have John Collins. That is an advantage for you. That's a major advantage, you know. But we'll see. It's gonna be a good one. That should be a good one. That's the thing about these games. I said I like the play-in tournament, but if I see another blowout, I'm going to start to second-guess it and say, maybe not. Maybe not. It's like, come on, let's just start the playoffs already and just get it going. But at the same time, it's like, make these games super competitive like they were the first night. Once we start to see, because remember, tonight is elimination night. There shouldn't be no blowouts. We should see everybody come with it. Clippers, have that next man up mentality. Okay, you don't have Paul George. You haven't had him most of the season. Get it together. It's either now or never, you know. Are you booking your flight tonight, or are you going to wait, you know, for like 2 weeks or so? That's really the question they got to ask themselves and see what's really going on. But, guys, I want to know your picks, though. Playoffs start tomorrow. Officially starts tomorrow. I'm not going to hold you to it because I know we want to at least know what these 8 seeds are going to be, even though I think we should be pretty solid where we know. But I'm going to let the games play out. Once the bracket is fully complete, then we can sit there and say, okay, we have Phoenix and whomever, and we have Miami and whomever. And then you can go from there. But you have all these other series to pick out. Don't wait till the last minute. That's a lot of teams, you know, between you have Dallas and the Jazz. All right, so the Dallas Mavericks. Yeah, so we heard Luka may be coming back. All right, I didn't really see him missing too many games. I think his foot being in that boot earlier that everybody was concerned about, I think that was just precautionary. So I don't want everybody to go crazy and act like, okay, this we can just call it. It's the Utah Jazz. No, I wouldn't be so quick to say that. Let's take a breath. Let's take a beat. Because, like I said, the Utah Jazz still have a lot to prove. I want to see Donovan Mitchell have a huge game. I want Rudy Gobert to get in there. I want to see him scoring way more points than he normally does. He has to be very active on the defensive end. Like, I know he can be that rim protector that they're expecting him to be. But I can see that. But if Luka comes back early, it really depends, though, because I think that they haven't really narrowed it down. They're still kind of iffy with that. But this could be a long series. This can go to 6 games. I have Utah in 6. But it really depends on Luka's health. Because Luka could come back, but maybe he's not Luka, right? So if he's not able to carry that team the way I know he can, then the Jazz are going to be moving on. And it's still in a game 6, though, because I know Luka's going to give it everything he got. As for the Golden State Warriors and Denver series, okay, here's the thing. So I know that everybody's worried about Steph. He said he's coming back tomorrow, guys. He's supposed to be game 1. He said that was always the plan. I heard the podcast between him and Draymond on the Draymond Green Show. Yo, Draymond, that's what's up. I love your podcast. I also love the other podcast you have, Throwing Bones. I love that show. Shout out to you. But we really have to, like, slow down. And I know everybody wants to overreact and say, all right, if Steph is not, like, 100%, you know, the Nuggets, they could take this. Listen, I like Jokic. I like what he's doing. I like Gordon. I like the guys, Barton, all the guys, the role players on his team that make this thing go. At 48 wins, you know, you're above 500. I get it, way above. I get it. But the Golden State Warriors are serious. They are serious for a lot of reasons. We've already spoke about the emergence of Jordan Poole. Jordan Poole is going to be an all-star, guys. That's just a matter of time. It's going to be a little bit more difficult because, obviously, the West, and you have all these all-stars there. You already know Dame Dollar's going to be back, so that's going to be another, you know, just because of his position. There's a lot of guards out there that are all-stars. But the point is, right now, I think the Warriors' biggest issue is trying to get chemistry with the guys that they have because of the injuries in and out. With if Wiseman comes back and then they got to acclimate him. It's not from a talent standpoint. It's definitely not from a culture standpoint. So don't get me wrong when I say like chemistry and how that chemistry is off. I just mean in a sense of their rotations as a coach. When you have to figure out how are we going to get Steph back into the game without forcing the issue. Especially you already know how he is with his ankles. Like you don't want to force it. He is going to be on a minutes restriction. And Steve Kerr definitely verified that. So now that we know that, it's like, okay, so who are they going to put him in with? And I guess it's going to be like a game flow, game type, in-game decision. Because depending on how everything goes, you don't want to just kind of throw him out there and keep him out there longer than you want to. Like I said, I think the biggest problem is you have all these super talented guys on the Warriors. And they don't seem to have an ego, which is incredible to have all these guys that can give you 25 points a game and, you know, but still want to see the other guys shine. They'll still, you know, they'll still pass it when they need to. And their bench is deep. So that's the key going in. That's why it's a problem because for Denver, because it doesn't matter if the stars are there. I think even if Steph were to sit out this series, I still would have Golden State winning this series. I'm not going to say it would be, like, easy. I'm not trying to say it's going to be, like, a sweep or a five games. I think, obviously, the series would it will be longer. I think depending on how much or how much we can get out of Steph, like, whether how long he can play, how many minutes, that's all going to depend on how long the series is going to be. But if Steph is good, and even if they have him on a minutes restriction, maybe 20, 25 minutes a game, this series could be over in five games. You know, but maybe if Steph can't go the first game or if they, you know, it depends. And Golden State has home court advantage, guys. Like, no. Like, these first two games, that should be Golden State, Golden State. You know, I'm not trying to say Joker won't put up a fight because I'm sure he will. He's a stud. He's my MVP. I already listed the reasons why. But Golden State is that team, guys. They're proven. They're winning. They have a great leader. They, at this point in the game, they have nothing to prove. They really don't. They don't have anything to prove. I know Klay feels like he has a lot to prove. And that's one only thing I'll probably bring up when it comes to Klay. Klay right now is so upset that he did not make that top, you know, 75 all 75 team. And I don't blame him. I would be upset, too, because that is rough, because it always seems like when guys are injured, you forget about guys. Even when Steph was out for all those times, that's when the emergence of another guy comes up. You know, we start talking about Trey a little bit more. We start talking about Ja a little bit more. And that what pretty much what happened to Klay. When he was out, we started talking about everybody else, literally completely forgetting about what Klay has done. You know, 37 points in the third quarter. You know, and he did all that on, like, nine touches. It was just, like, nine dribbles or something like that. We know what Klay is. We know he got disrespected. I'm just going to say it like that. There's a couple of names. Because I know you can't just say, oh, he should be on there and not be willing to take. No, I can tell you there's a couple of names that probably should have been taken off before you don't consider this guy. But you know what? That's neither here nor there. But I'm here to say, Klay, if you ever get a chance to listen to this or if you listen to anybody else who's saying what I am saying, please, please, please do not think about that during this playoffs or this season. If you want to think about that on your own time, you know, when the playoffs are over, I totally get it. And everybody, or not everybody, but most people would be in your corner. Most basketball folk who understand the game and understand your impact individually to this game and what you have done, we're on your side, 100%. But if you're just pretty much out there on like a personal like vendetta and trying to prove something, that's going to be to the Golden State Warriors' detriment. I'm here to tell you right now, if he's going out there with that mindset, like, I'm trying to prove everybody wrong, I'm going to score, I'm going to do this, that's not his way of playing basketball. That's not what made him great. That's not what made him, in my eyes, top 75. That's also not what made the Golden State Warriors who they are. I just got through saying that the best thing about the Golden State Warriors is that they have so many stars on their team, but they have no ego, right? They can put all that personal stuff aside. And that's why I'm so glad that Steph put all that, you know, in his individual award with him being, you know, the best three-point shooter ever in front of Ray Allen and Reggie Miller. I'm so glad that that was over in the beginning of the season. And now he can just focus on team basketball. That is the Warriors winning recipe with Draymond there, I mean, at the helm pretty much, leading the team. Emphasis on defense and sharing the rock. That's the beauty of their game. Clay, I hope you stick to the game plan. It's been a winning plan for you guys for years to come. I know it's been like two since y'all been in the playoffs, but it's okay because you guys are getting healthy, getting healthier, I should say, you know, because you guys are right there on the cusp of something special. And I would love to see you guys back in the Western Conference Finals because that's where I'm going to put you, you know. I'm still waiting until everything plays out, but that's where I want to put you because I think you guys are that team. That's just me. And if you think differently, let me know. Let me know who you got, and we can talk about that. But anyway, there's a whole other series, right? Memphis and Minnesota. I love this series. Now, I'm going to say this about Minnesota, right? So they did beat the Clippers, and it was such a good game because down the stretch, even though that they were making like little mistakes, and you can tell that they were just they, you could tell that they were the young team, right? Making these silly mistakes, even the majority of the game. You know, everybody keeps saying like, oh, they're a dumb, you know, team, but they're good. Listen, I don't think they're a dumb team. I just think they're an immature team, and we've seen a couple of things, you know, to say why that's true, right? So they're an immature team because, first of all, they're literally playing to get into the playoffs. Like, you're not even in the playoffs, but you beat a team, right? Like the Clippers, shorthanded, but you still beat them. Paul George was playing. Let's give them that. And now you have an opportunity to be in the playoffs, right? You playing the second best, hottest team in the Memphis Grizzlies, and you've already seen what they've been doing to everybody in the league in the regular season with 56 wins. I know the regular season's over, but I'm just saying, it means something. But when they were celebrating, I mean, I don't want to take that away, because honestly, I am one of those people who, like, I'm not going to say, like, you know, act like you've been there before. It's like you want to act like you've been there before, but I do believe in celebrating. I do. I'm not gonna sit here and say no. You should be celebrating your mini goals along with your, you know, with bigger goals in mind. But the crying, you know, the kissing of the girlfriend right after. I mean, after he put up like what, Cat had like 13 points, like. The jumping on the scores table like Dwayne Wade did when he won. I'm sorry. I don't understand that. You want to be happy when you got Anthony Edwards. He's a stud, dude. He is a star. He's that dude. Another all-star in the making. If you guys want to pour water on him while like Lisa Saunders or Doris Burke is talking to them at the side. Cool. I'm happy for you guys. I'm happy for Pat Beverly. Happy. I know what that must be. Like, not obviously in that situation, but, you know, to kind of just get cast aside. Like, he pretty much said, pay me or trade me. They said, okay, traded him. So in a year turnaround, to be able to come back and beat that very same team while they have to sit and now watch the playoffs, watch you play Memphis, you know, that's got to be a good feeling. That's got to be everything. So I understand, especially with Pat Bev. Like, he plays with so much emotion. Maybe he just couldn't help it, or I don't know. But I still thought it was a bit much. I'm happy for them. I am happy for them because I picked you guys. Listen to my other podcast. I picked you guys to win. I still, against all odds, I still picked you guys to win because I liked what you guys were doing. I liked D'Angelo Russell and how he's coming along and how his game has matured since he came from the Lakers, right? I love it. I love the way, even like Kat, I had way higher hopes for him. I don't understand what those fouls were about. Very childish, didn't make any sense. And I don't know. I just hope that he gets back to his game. One of the best shooting big men I've ever seen, you know, winning a three-point contest back in the All-Star game. I get it, but I don't want to see him out there all the time. You got Anthony Edwards. You have, you know, D'Angelo Russell, like I mentioned, and you have other guys that can put it on the floor and get it done. I need you, you know, in the painted area, just dominating like you were at the end of the regular season when I was talking about Kat. And I was like, yo, I love that energy that he's playing with. He's playing with that aggression. He is that dude when he plays like that. But when he's out there on the perimeter and then on defense with these silly fouls, or even when he's like just trampling all over people, like, dude, it's like, what are you? It's like almost like he was just not himself. He was not himself that game. He can't have that game. He can't have that game with Memphis. It would be a quick series if they play like that. Kat has got to put up numbers. He's got to show up. He's got to be there 100%. So, like I said, I'm glad the Timberwolves made it into the playoffs, but I hope they settle down. I hope they got all that out their system, and I hope they're ready to work because they're going to have to work. They have a lot to prove. John Morant's already knowing. He already let you know he wants all that smoke. They walking up the chimney, bro. Like, they're not playing. No soft energy over there. He said not a guy on his team is like that. So they like that. And they've proven that this season. They've proven that. With or without John Morant, they've proven that collectively as a team. So they're not going to have time for all that. But needless to say, I do have Memphis winning that series. Mainly because I don't think what the Timberwolves have right now is strong enough to overpower Memphis. I feel like Memphis has figured it out. They play well together. They play smart together. They understand who their leader is, but they also understand when to step up when their leader is not on the floor. And that's huge. You need that because your leader's not always going to be out there. Got to get some water. Got to get some rest. Got to chill. What then? So, Carl Anthony Towns, I need you to step up, man. I want to see a good series. I still got Memphis coming out, but I still want to see a good series. I don't want to see no five. You know, I don't want to see no sweeps. I don't want to see no a gentleman sweep with five wins. I don't want to see that either. Five games. I don't want to see that. But switching it over to let's get to the East, because the East is where it's at. Let's face it. This year, the East is where it's at. So this is what I'm here to say. So we have Miami. I know we're still trying to figure out who's going to be the eighth seed, so I'm not gonna go too crazy with it, even though I do have the Hawks coming out, and that's going to be a nice series too. I just need John Collins to definitely come back for that series to have some type of advantage, you know, because then it would be nice to see John Collins and Bam Adebayo. Like, that would be nice, because this is a game of matchups, and whoever wins that matchup, that's going to be huge. But we'll get into that a little bit more, the breakdown, once I can see exactly who's going to be there. But that's my pick for that series, obviously. It will be Miami. But just coming down, now we have Philly. Philly and Toronto. Now, you already know the situation with Thybul not being able to play in Toronto. that is huge. But at the same time, this series will be in Philly. So, with that being said, this might go to like 6-7 games. And that difference will be when Thybulle is there playing defense. One of the elite defenders in the league. That's going to be huge. So, with Siakam, you got over there. You got Scottie Barnes. These guys, I like the way Toronto's playing, but I don't know if they have enough. Fred VanVleet, of course. That dude, man, if we're going to talk about underrated guards in the league, Fred is definitely underrated. Underrated. And I hope that he definitely shows people in this series, like, listen, I'm here. I know you guys got John Moran and Steph Curry and all these other guys that you guys like to talk about and Trae Young, but I'm here too. You know, I'm that guy, and I think this series will be a series that he needs to really stand out. It can't just be Pascal Siakam, you know, and Scotty. Because you got to understand that the other guys on that team, plus, before I even get into that, Nick Nurse. Dude, he's one of the underrated coaches in the league. I know we used to talk about him more so when he had Kawhi and everybody else. Listen. Nick Nurse is that guy. I'm here to tell you, Nick Nurse is that guy. He's got something special ready. So, Philly, James Harden, I know they've been all over TV today with Embiid talking about, oh, we got it together, we figured it. I hope y'all do. Because if they get knocked out of the playoffs, over Toronto, and that's no disrespect to Toronto, but we already know why James Harden came to play with Embiid, especially after the season that Embiid has been having, MVP kind of season. They're supposed to win this series, let's face it. That's why there's pressure. That's why you gotta come with it. This is not even a question. They need to come with it, and they need to come with it fast. They need to let them know off the rip, like, listen, this is how we play. You're going to have Thybulle there the first two games. Make sure you let them know. Have them on notice. If these first two games should be, well, the first game I anticipate being a blowout. If James Harden shows up, Embiid keeps playing the way he's been playing all season long, letting you know why he's in that MVP conversation, or even, in fact, some people's actual MVP, which is, I can't argue with that. That man, he's proved himself to be in that conversation. So if he's your MVP, awesome. Awesome. Like, it's a toss-up. Because when you have to keep going back and forth with those MVPs, like, it's like, it's a headache. It's like, you know what? Toss a coin like I did between Joker and Embiid. Everybody else, yeah, they deserve it too to be in the conversation. But after a while, it's like, nah. If you look at what they have done this season, it's a toss-up. I'm telling you. Like, the Joker also set some records too with points and rebounds. And so, like I said, it's a toss-up. But like I said, in that series, Harden, you got to come to play. I know it's different from Brooklyn when you were able to have all those different assists. I know it's different. And remember Steve Nash, point guard mentality. So he was able to work with James Harden and able to let him know, like, listen, he kind of gave him the green light when it came to that for him to be more of a playmaker until obviously it got a little, you know, messy with their situation over in Brooklyn. But he's going to need some of that. I'm telling you, his team needs him to be a playmaker. Now, a lot of people are asking me, and this is some really good questions, some hard questions, Doc Rivers, right? The coach, 76ers, is he still going to be the coach if they don't win this series? I don't know. Because we can even go as far as Daryl Morey, right? That made all those trades, that got rid of Seth Curry and Andre Drummond, all those draft picks, just so James Harden can be there. And obviously, you know, Daryl Morey's from Houston, and he did everything he did. Moved heaven and earth, like they said, right? Just to get James Harden there. For Doc Rivers to be his coach and hopefully have everything together. I mean, this is difficult. I'm going to tell you no. I don't think Doc Rivers is going to be there. Now, will he be in L.A. playing with, coaching the Lakers? That's a possibility. But it all depends on where everything goes. Because we don't know if Nick Nurse might be up for that job. We don't know if Quentin Snyder, you know, some people are saying that he wanted to go over to the Lakers and coach them, but he may not. We don't know. There's so many possibilities, like we also discussed last episode, that we're not really sure where this can go. But the point is, if they don't win this series, and like I said, no disrespect to Toronto, I think what they have going on is great. They need a little bit more. They're not ready to contend just yet. But it doesn't mean that they won't put up a fight, and I respect that. But the light is going to be shining extra bright on Doc Rivers, James Harden, and Daryl Morey, 100%. Now, who has the most pressure? GMs always seem to shy. I kind of don't really get too much. Because at the end of the day, players got to play. So I think it really depends. So if we're looking at a really close game, right, and we're seeing that it's really a coaching decision, if we're seeing it's just the right players won't put out on the floor properly, or if we see James Harden maybe getting too many fouls and maybe not pulling him earlier and fouling out, it depends on, or even Joel Embiid in that situation. Or maybe he hasn't figured out a way to get Tobias Harris more involved, even though that's up to the players too, right? But what kind of plans is Doc Rivers drawing out for these guys? Is he drawing up plays where he needs to get the rest of the guys more involved, more of the role players, so that way it makes it easier for the pick and roll between James Harden and Embiid to kind of just eat, like just go crazy? Like that's what we need to look at. Because is he drawing up those plans and James Harden and them are just not executing properly? Or is Doc Rivers just not drawing up those plans just for that to happen, like X and O's wise? Like, those are the things you need to look at. And if you're looking at the game that closely, I know I'm talking, like, pretty, you know, intricate. But if that's the case, then that's what we're going to be looking at. We're really going to see, like, okay, what is James Harden doing? Is he turning the ball over? Is he going to shoot himself out of the game or out of the series? Because we've seen him do things like that in Houston. And, boy, was that terrible to watch. But all we could do is sit here and watch. I'm very disappointed in him saying he has no pressure. I get the logic in that, but I feel like you're just giving people more to talk about. You know, I mean, unless you like that attention, which is just going to amount to more pressure. He didn't have to say anything about pressure. All you had to say was, I know why I'm here. I'm just here to hoop. Like, that's it. Chemistry is going good. I feel good. We're at a good place as a team, and we're gonna go get it done. That's it. That's it. There's nothing wrong with saying that. Stick to the script. Don't say I don't feel no pressure. I just want to hoop. No, I don't want. Nobody wants to hear that. Nobody wants to hear that. The city of Philadelphia does not want to hear that. You know why? Because they had to deal with so much. They didn't know where their franchise was going to be at one point with Ben Simmons talking about he doesn't want to play, he can't play, all these different things. The one thing that they were able to hold on to was Embiid staying healthy and putting up crazy numbers, holding this organization together, being a true leader. That's the one thing they can hold, they can hang their hat on and say, yo, at least we have Embiid. He wasn't just talking about the trust in the process. He wasn't on social media talking crazy. He was doing his job. You got to respect that. And as another star like James Harden, you got to respect that too. As a former MVP, you got to respect that too. You got to respect where he's coming from. He's having the season of his career right now. It's up to James Harden to not only match his intensity, but to help get them past this first and second round. Come on. Let's get it done. Next series, Chicago and Milwaukee. That's going to be good. Lonzo Ball, I don't think he's coming back, guys. I know everybody's trying to figure that out, and I think they're still shutting that down. So that's gonna be, but they do have DeMar DeRozan. They do have Zach LaVine. They still have Cody White. They got some guys over there that can ball, as we know, I mean, you're not just getting 46 wins. Like they've had their, you know, issues obviously with staying healthy, and that's always every guy on that team. I guess like outside of not every guy. I mean, like superstar wise, outside of DeMar DeRozan, they've always had problems with injuries. Unfortunately, Lonzo Ball, because if he was in that series, that is a game changer. I'm telling you, that series, that's gonna be crazy, because Giannis, we got to respect his game. We have to respect Middleton. We also have to respect Jrue Holiday and how he's such an elite defender and how he can get off his shot as well. I love the way he's distributing the ball and kind of he's definitely the pace setter. Like the way he's able to set the pace for them, it's just perfect. That speed up and fast, you know, how do you want it? You want it. I like his game a lot. So that's going to be very difficult for the Bulls to try to compete with. I'm just going to here to tell you right now, like that's not going to be an easy series for them. Giannis made that decision a while back in free agency to say, "Hey, I'm going to stay with this team." And everybody was like, "Why are you going to stay with the Bucks? You a free agent. You can go anywhere and make more money and be more marketable." And he was like, "No, I'm going to stay here. I'm going to stay with my coach. Loyalty means something to him." He was going to build something special. Him and Middleton playing together, they're only getting more comfortable. That's what's dangerous. They're only getting more comfortable knowing what the other guy is going to do. Like, if you know what your teammate's going to do, where he's going to be, how he's feeling, where is his spot at, like, when you know all these different things on the court, like, that's everything. Because the game may not be making sense, maybe you, like, the refs, you know, everybody blames the refs, right? But, you know, it's like all these different variables that you can't control. But if you can control staying playing your game and your teammates playing his, and you're, it's poetry in motion, to say the least, because it's like you can just see all the outside noise, you can see the chaos, but it's like in the eye of the storm, you can see everything just slow down and just make sense. It's great, and I think that's how it's gonna be with the Bucks. The Bucks are just not only that deep, they're that special, they're that connected, they play smart. I'm telling you, in the playoffs, like all that reckless abandonment plays. It gets you some highlights. It'll get you through the regular season, barely, or play-in, right, that we have now. But that's not going to carry you through the first round right now, especially being that you're the lower seed and, you know, they have home court advantage. I definitely have the Bucks in that series. I hope the Bulls put up a good fight, though. DeMar DeRozan been playing spectacular throughout the whole season. Again, another guy that was in the MVP conversation. And we've already talked about the Celtics and the Nets. You already know what they need to do. But let's get it started. The playoffs are here. They're here. Well, tomorrow. But they're here, though. But just switch it over to a little bit of NFL news, because I know a lot of people want to talk about the NFL. And I know everybody is like, Sundays, no NFL. But it's okay. You got the basketball. You got the NBA playoffs. It's a perfect timing. These guys are just starting to get back into it. Everybody's talking about the AFC East, the AFC North. I know. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be crazy. Looking at all these different matchups, looking at what teams are going to be doing better, which teams do we expect to stay the same. And my biggest worry is for the Chiefs. I don't know. You can only hope that they hit on a couple of those picks. On those first rounders, if they hit a couple of those, maybe they clean up some areas on defense. I think that's the only way that they'll try to make up a little bit for the Tyreek Hill loss. You're not really gonna make up for it like in the same way. Like, people are thinking that you're gonna find another Tyreek Hill. No, you're not. Like, you're not gonna just run out and find a generational player. Like, you're just not gonna find that guy who runs that fast, who's able to do the different things that he does. You're just not going to find that guy. Exactly. You don't need to look for a copy. But you can look at other weaknesses that you have in your team, especially on defense, especially on your offensive line. If you can hit on those picks where you don't have Patrick running around for his life on every down, then you know what? That's a start. That's a start. I'm telling you, things like that will matter, especially when you got Juju over here. You still got Kelce, right? You still got O'Reliable. You know, maybe if they get another running back. But fix up that line. You fix up the offensive line. You fix up your defense. You're going to have to find another honey badger, obviously. And Matthew, I probably wouldn't have let him go, to be honest with you. I mean, a leader on defense. You know, guys, that's hard to find, too. And that's been something that they've been missing for quite some time. They've just been able to overcome it. But the AFC is not the same AFC anymore. Even the Dolphins, man, I'm telling you, like, I don't know why people are sleeping on the Dolphins, but I guess y'all just got to find out for yourselves. I might even try to go to a game this year. That's, man, y'all need to wait and see. But but the NFL is still far off, but we're still looking out to see if there's any changes. But I think the Colts just got a corner, too. So look out for the Colts and what they're trying to do. Baker's upset. Who's surprised? Yeah, nobody's surprised. A lot of people wanted me to talk about Baker Mayfield, right? So, you know me. If you know me, I love underdogs. I love the fact that you can go out there and prove anybody wrong on any given night. But Baker, the reality is, dude talks too much. He talks too much in a way where it's helped him out when it comes to acting, when it comes to his commercials. You're great. You're funny, witty, you know, just what you would want in, like, an actor, right? But here's the thing. When it comes to a quarterback, when it comes to a leader on a team, it's just not a good look, especially if you're not playing well. Let me say it like that. Because if you're winning, I mean, winning cures all, right? You can make all the jokes you want. You could probably talk all you want. Mics are going to be in your face. People are really not going to have much to say besides, oh, you had a great game, and oh, and that was a cool commercial. But now it's just like, no, you're not playing well, and yeah, you played through injuries, and that's highly respectable. You're always going to get the nod from a select few, because when you're able to kind of put it all out there for your team, you know, that does mean something. So I can't take that for granted. But at the same time, with all the talking that he was doing and, you know, forcing OBJ out, and, you know, OBJ is my guy. So I was already like, you know, and then Jarvis saying, you know what, this may not be the organization for me. Once you see a couple of guys kind of bow out like that, it's kind of like, I don't know. There must be something else more to it. And you have weapons, dude. I know you played injured, but there's just some things that wouldn't happen in terms of football situational awareness. I felt like he didn't have it. That's a couple of things where I think that's also why they probably didn't pay Murray, and why they're still going on in their contract negotiations. And we'll kind of talk about that a little bit. But just to go back on Baker for a minute, it's like, I understand that he feels disrespected because he was told one thing and they obviously did another. But it's, if you talk to any of these retired, you know, athletes, or listen to them during interviews, they all say the same thing. These teams are always looking to upgrade. Always. Either you're going to know about it or you're not going to know about it. But you should know that. And you know what? As a competitor, you should respect that. So if you're going to sit there and not be on your game and have other focuses like commercials and other things, while those things are great, but understand that there is somebody out there that is better than you. And we already knew that there are other quarterbacks that were better than him anyway. And he was definitely smaller size. Those things matter. If you're already coming in as the underdog, man, you should kind of be focused on one thing and one thing only. And that's securing the bag. And I think that's where he kind of fell short. He was not focused on the bag. He was focused on everything else. And I understand when you're hot, you're hot. You want to capitalize on that, but try to do that during the off season. You know, don't let it become, you know, something that you're more popular for. Because if you know people who don't really watch sports, but why do people know who Baker Mayfield is? Like, there's some people who don't watch football but know who Baker Mayfield is. Like, why is that? You don't even know. You're not even known for who you know what you do. You know, this is your main bread. Like, that's what you. I don't know. I get where he's coming from, but at the same time, we've seen this all happen before. Ask DeMar DeRozan. You know, I mean, that's what happens. He was told to his face that he was the face of the franchise, and you were that dude, and there was Kawhi. Right? I mean, you see it in all sports. Somebody is after your job. You have to understand that when you're at the highest level, somebody is looking to replace you. And the organization is always looking to get better. They're always thinking about longevity. That's just the nature of the beast. And just to go back on Colin Murray for a second, too, I mean, I thought he was playing well. I thought he was doing his thing. But in the playoffs, it's like he was definitely exposed a bit. Like, teams saw his weaknesses, and his situational football wasn't the best. His IQ, he was making a lot of mistakes that didn't need to be done. You know, sometimes you have to take that sack. Sometimes you have to know when to throw the ball out and not throw it, you know, right towards the line for them to throw it, come back in for a touchdown when your team's already, you know, shorthanded and not having DeAndre Hopkins. I'm like, those things matter. We need to see how you can respond when you don't have your top guns out there, but you still need to be smart with the football. Those are the things that matter it matters at any position, but at the quarterback position where you have the ball the most, yeah, those things matter, especially in the playoffs. And you saw how intense and competitive each and every one of those games were. You know how football is. It's always one and done in the playoffs, but I think it's just understanding that and understanding what you mean to the organization. Like, it's not about you. I know your name is going to get brought up, so I know it's a little confusing because it's like, all they talk about is me. But here's the thing. Your team loses, they're going to be looking at you. As the quarterback, QB1, they're going to be looking at you. But if you win, it's also the same thing. They're going to be looking at you. They're not going to be saying, oh, your offensive line. Like, you'll get the real, like, maybe NFL Live, like, you'll get, like, the real people who love the game, and they'll sit there and say, like, oh, no, it was the offensive line. You saw the way that offensive tackle was. Listen, I'm just telling you, even when you win games, it goes the same way. So it matters how you carry yourself on and off the field, and people look at those things, especially when you're coming looking for more money. If you're looking for contract deals, stability, and you're well within your rights to, especially if you're Colin Murray, we saw what you have done. Your body of work has said a lot. But here's the thing. You've made costly mistakes in the playoffs. You shouldn't have been the reason why your team lost. And it was clearly like you were the reason. There was other factors out there, but you was definitely part of the reason. You know, you were a big part of the reason, actually. And then the injuries as well, you have to look into. Those are big. We can't sit here and ignore those things. So as we sit here in the offseason and watch these things play out, there's going to be teams out there who are going to love to pick him up. Baker's going to get a job too. I just don't know if it'll be at the starting position, though. I can't really see any teams that are really willing to make to risk that, especially knowing his attitude and how he is, because it doesn't sound like, you know, he's even worried about his game. Everybody's worried about the noise. But here's the thing. Like, inside all that criticism or how they treated things, maybe that should be on you to say, you know what? I'm just going to go out there and ball. All I know is I'm going to train so hard. I'm going to, you know, get in with this, you know, quarterback guru and make sure that my football situational awareness is on point. Like, I'm going to do whatever need be for the noise to quiet. You know what I mean? Just for me to get better from a personal standpoint and also for an organization standpoint. So, because once they see the work, people are going to, they're going to make more noise, but trust me, it'll be in the right direction. It'll be definitely in your better interest or in your best interest rather. Because to sit there and just, like, have interviews and play victim about how they did this when you were injured, and it's like nobody wants to hear that, dude. Like, I can get a dozen athletes that can have similar stories to you, but here's the difference. They didn't say anything. They didn't say anything, and it helps when you don't talk sometimes. I'm telling you, it really does, especially if, you know, you just gave them too much reason to say, hey, we don't want this guy. Same thing with Kyler Murray. Don't give them any leverage to say anything. You know, sometimes you got to bet on yourself. Sometimes you got to play ball. And it is what it is. So we'll see what happens. Just so you know, I'm just getting a report saying that Jarrett Allen is actually questionable for tonight. Cavs are going to need Jarrett Allen. Now, listen, I'm here to tell you, if Jarrett Allen does play, I might change my pick. But it's all good. So as long as I'm going to be on my social media like crazy, so you guys want to reach out and talk, we can definitely talk. And I'll let you know, because once I understand that he's playing or not, I'm going to put it out there and let you guys know, like, yeah, the Cavs might take this. You know, Garland, if he's playing the way he's playing, I don't know. It's gonna be a good game. It's gonna be a good game. I like it. I like to see when you didn't know stars were playing and all of a sudden they're playing. I hate it when you expect them to play and then all of a sudden, like, Paul George on and not playing. All right, well, it changes things a bit. Anyway, that's my time, y'all. Always remember, losses equals life lessons. I'm out. Peace.
This is the Ripple Effect with your girl K-Dot, where we're discussing NBA and NFL and everything in between.